Anthony Marvin. Well, hello, CPs, and welcome to Breakfast with Tiffany with me, Miss Tiffany Morgan, and...
me, Miss Jazz Morgan.
I got Mama in the...
Mama's home
in Sweet Pea Studios here. So, what is Breakfast with Tiffany? Well, Breakfast with Tiffany is a radio show on C4C 101.9 FM. It's a podcast, and it's just really like a little diatribe of Tiffany Morgan, drag queen, gardening... guru, personality, apparently also the savior of drag and kinkster.
Savior, yeah.
I'm going to use the word savior, not the maintainer or whatever. Keeping drag alive while other people abandon us. Abandon us to kinkston. I tease. But welcome, Jazz Morgan.
Oh, it's so fun to be here. I've seen you more in the last... month than I have in my entire life.
It's true.
And note to viewers, there's no breakfast here. No breakfast at all.
Yeah, well, you no brought breakfast. Coffee.
Well, so. I had to. I was going to starve to death. These early mornings and no breakfast.
Breakfast.
So did you like the article?
Yeah. So just as an FYI to our listening audience out there, we're in an article in McLean's.
We made it big.
For those who may be in America, McLean's is like a nationwide magazine here in Canada. It's been going on since, I don't know, 1908 or something like that.
Is it that long, really?
I think it's been around for over 100 years.
Wow.
McLean's magazine. Wow. So we...
We've been around that long, too. So it makes sense that we're in it.
It makes complete sense, yes. You and I, yeah. Wait a minute. If we add up our years of, service and stuff, it probably is.
We're getting up there, yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's up there. We old, girl.
So we do have to thank Friends of Rowena Ways, the writer, Kaylin, right?
Yes.
Kaylin?
Kaylin Lyons, I believe.
Yeah. I doubted myself with the pronunciation. I thought it was Callan for a second. Kaylin. Yes. Kaylin. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was just the interviewing process, too, was interesting.
Long and tedious. It was long and tedious.
Well, tell us about your experience then.
So
with it.
We chatted probably a good three and a half hours. It was a very long interview. Very, very incredibly nice woman. We just talked about the history of drag in Kingston and kind of where it started, where it got its roots. Me, that's where it started. That's where it got its roots. And where it's came from since that period of time, what drag was like in those days. I liked the article. I really, really liked it. I thought it was fantastic. I wish it would have covered more of the history, though. I just felt, but I mean, you know, they always condense those things down. But
yeah, they do.
There's so many things that were forgotten that, I don't know, should have been there, I think.
Well, hopefully I can remember to tie back into that because that's something I definitely want to chat about. But you spent like 3 hours on the phone.
Yeah, it was a long interview. Long interview. Yeah.
When you told me that afterwards, I was like, well, I only spent like 45 minutes.
Well, I mean, I have a lot to say. Clearly.
And look at this old photo of you.
Isn't that fabulous? That's Joanne McAlpine and me.
Oh, that's Joanne.
Yeah. I wish they would have put that photo a bit bigger. I have my crown on in that one. Rare occasions I wore it.
I got it in the cabinet.
Back. You do? You do? Yeah. She never wears it.
I never.
She never wears it. No.
I need to.
You wouldn't know she's a queen because she don't wear her crown.
No, I don't wear my crown. Well, you know.
That crown has a long history, too.
Well, that's why I don't wear it, because I'm just so paranoid of, like, damaging it.
It's got so much
history.
I did.
There's been a few patches I've noticed. Yeah. When you look closely at it, you're like, how did...
Yeah, I used to drink. No, I didn't. Yeah, I did, but that's a whole other show altogether. Really?
The sobriety show is next week.
Sobriety. Sobriety and life after 60. Anyway.
Oh.
Not 60, but pushing it. Pushing it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this article.
We back to this article.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought that it covered a lot of stuff. Yeah. I don't know, though. I think there was a part of me that read it, and I was really, really happy about it. There was a part of me that was kind of, you know, because I wish it did cover a little bit more of the history of drag and not sort of, you know, where we're at today, which is not a bad place to be, but... Well, I'm going to write a book. I really need to write a book.
You need to write a book, Chaz. I do. Yeah, because that seems to be coming up quite a bit lately over the last month, like at least in conversations that I've been having with work. For instance, we have a little Pride network at work that is, I don't know, 20 years old now. And people are like, you know, not everyone, like, people are retiring and they're like, well, no one has the written history or the oral history or anything, you mm-hmm. know, people are asking about the queer history, like the history of drag in Kingston. They're asking these questions and there's no definitive source. Like, the only kind of snippet that we have is Kingston is Burning.
Yeah.
And my little documentary.
Mr. Fowler. What was his first... James Fowler.
James, yeah.
Kingston's Burning, yeah. That was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, which luckily Reel Out has a copy of.
Yes.
So you got that little bit of history. But as you were saying, like, you know, people are asking about the history, the herstory, you know, sort of thing of Kingston. And
drag, going back, like, if you look at the history of drag, like, when it first started... I can remember it actually started at an argument of somebody telling me that drag was inappropriate and, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of a heated debate. It was actually a lesbian telling me that it was derogatory towards women and it shouldn't be done and blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to explain the history of drag and she just wasn't having it. And by the end of it, I was really ticked and I thought, well, we're going to do a drag show. So I talked to a few friends. Well, by the time that drag show came about, there literally was like 21, 22 performers in that show. And that's really the kickoff of where drag took off in Kingston. And then, you know, over the course of the next couple of years, things kind of got refined and, you know, it ended up being basically a group of 10 or 12 people who did their shows. And it was fun. It was exciting. There was a lot of competition going on. There was fights between, like, not between the queens, but fighting of who could get that show at the bar, who could keep that show at the bar.
Oh,
so
yes.
It became a rotating basis of, you know, one week one person had a show, another week another person had a show, and it was kind of like who was drawing in the bigger crowds, and of course I won. Anyway, so that's kind of where it went, and then we had, like, our core group of Claudette Demeanor, and there was Crystal Cage, who's now passed away. Claudette's passed away. Trudy was in the shows all the time, myself, Savannah, I can't even remember half of them. But yeah, that became the core group of what drag was mm-hmm. in Kingston at that time. Very safe, you know, very safe community too. I mean, I hit every straight bar that I possibly could in full drag. If they didn't like it, I didn't care. We kept it in their face, you know, we're here, we're queer, that whole get used to it. And that's exactly how it all took off here. And then years later, as it kind of dwindled out, I chose you to represent the city as Miss Gay Kingston. You were working hard. You were doing tons of community work. You were raising money for the community, which was what drag was all about for us in those days. It wasn't about doing a show and making money. It was about supporting the community, raising funds, and yeah.
Yeah, because that a lot of those shows were fundraisers for the Kingston AIDS Project.
Kingston AIDS Project, yeah.
Which then became HARS, which now is Trellis. And it's more, it's about raising awareness and everything like that, too, probably. Like, you weren't raking in the dollars for the charity.
Oh, God, no, no, no. And I mean, power to the drag queens at that time, because drag, as you know, is not a cheap art form to take on. So, no, I mean, people were using their own resources and, you know, putting shows together. We had a team of amazing, Chuck Yusko as our DJ, and we had from Knock. visuals, who did our stage work and our lighting and all of that. And so, yeah, there were all Todd, that's it. So we had amazing, amazing team of people behind us too. And of course, bar support and community support. I mean, you know, you did a drag show, the community showed up and supported it. And that's what it was about.
Yeah, maybe we should talk a little bit briefly about that, that this was all at the one and only gay bar. You weren't necessarily doing shows elsewhere.
We were.
Oh.
No, we were. So the shows started at the office, which then the office had closed down and it moved and it became Club 477. No, we were still doing shows out of the city. At that time, we were traveling to Ottawa and doing shows.
Yeah.
Dixie Landers and Bella would come to Kingston and do shows with us here. So we were going to Ottawa quite regularly. We were doing shows in Belleville. We did some shows in Gananoque. The show was moving. We were going to Toronto for weekends and doing stuff there with the incredible Chris Edwards, who was a huge supporter of Kingston Queens.
Yeah.
It was quite busy. It was moving around a lot.
Okay, maybe I need to ask this question because we were like, we had our first drag show ever in Napanee this year.
No, you weren't the first drag show in Napanee. You're probably the first rememberable drag show in Napanee, but no, it wouldn't have been the first.
Damn. Okay.
Sorry, honey, I did it all first.
I want the photo.
I'm
going to
call
evidence.
My book, I Did It All First.
I did
that's
it gonna, all.
That's going to be the title of the book.
You're listening to Breakfast with Tiffany here on C4C 101.9 FM, and I'm speaking with the fabulous my drag mama, Jazz Morgan, is in Sweepy Studios here with me right now. And I'm Tiffany Morgan, by the way. So let's talk more about me, shall we? Because there was a period in, the 2000s sort of thing that you decided to move out of Kingston sort of thing and kind of left me to my own devices. My question is, what were you thinking? Leaving me in charge.
What was I thinking? So when I left Kingston and moved to Toronto, my family's in Kingston, so I'm in Kingston quite a bit, and I come back all the time from Toronto.
And that's why you're here right now.
When I left Kingston actually to complete my transition, and that was kind of the reasoning why I left. Now I look back and think I really didn't need to leave Kingston to complete my transition, but... And at that time, you were kind of left holding the bag. But in all honesty, you know, if I look back on that now, you were more than capable of that. Like, that's the reason why you ended up with the crown, because you were capable of it. You know, you proved yourself on stage. You were doing all the right things. You were community involvement. All the things that were near and dear to my heart, you were carrying on that tradition. You know, it wasn't about how much money we were going to make at this. It wasn't about, you know, it was like, what support could you give the community?
Yeah.
And how could you do that as Tiffany? And you shone in that. Like, you absolutely did. So there was no question ever in my mind who this crown needed to go to. Wow. And from there, that would be, you know, left to you of what you were going to do with that. And you've done tremendous amounts of stuff with that. I mean, I went this weekend to a show, a one-woman show with Tiffany. And I mean, I literally sat in the audience and just watched the show. And I have to say, like, I was really blown away by that. Like, I really, really was. You did a tremendous job on that stage. You kept the audience attention. You were funny. You, like, it was just a fantastic show to watch. And that went for, how long was it? 6 hours? Something like that. I don't know. But you know what I mean? You held the audience captive. And I thought, here it is, 20 years later, and you're still doing what you do best.
Yeah.
And that is being Tiffany Morgan and being what I consider what the art of drag is really all about. You know, it's not the cookie cutter drag queen that's out there now that you see, you know, where they're all doing the same thing. Oh, let's do a death drop. You know, let's jump around the stage. And, you know, like, to me, drag has always been, it's either about comedy, it's either about impersonation, it's about offering the audience an illusion. Yeah. But I find that drag nowadays, you're not getting that illusion. You know, it's a drag queen on stage doing the cookie cutter song, doing the cookie cutter movements. It's just, it's so cookie cutter now. And sometimes I think that all came from the RuPaul culture, because RuPaul, or people assume this is what a drag queen is, where RuPaul drag is not what a drag queen is. It's a form of what a drag queen is. Mm-hmm. But when you hit, you know, the impersonations, when you hit the comedy that comes out of drag, when those things are pushed, you know, the misconceptions of the world, the divas, the deceiving divas, you know, Amanda Roberts and Fahrenheit and Kenneth Blake in the States. And those are sort of the style of drag that I grew up with and that I was used to. Yeah, I don't want to pay, you know, $10 to see a drag show where every queen is doing the exact same thing. It's like, to me, that just becomes boring. It's cookie cutter, and I don't want to see it.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because we were chatting before the program started. But it's almost like celebrity, right? When I think about it, because suddenly they're a celebrity, people are like, oh, let's go see the celebrity. But the celebrity is just there for the, like, the photo ops, right? You know, sort of thing.
Yeah. To me, you need to create something on stage that people remember. In my day, drag was always about impersonation. If you couldn't impersonate anybody, then you needed to come up with your own individual characters that people related to or found funny. A lot of comedy stuff, or even doing impersonations that were funny. You know, it was so far off the mark, but yet had enough of that person in it that it still was, this is a great impersonation, a funny impersonation, but good. Yeah. That is what I think audiences pay for. You know, people need to leave that theater, that stage. They need to leave that thinking, you know, that was an incredible illusion. That was an incredible, you know, a break from reality, if you will.
Yeah.
Leave with that sense of this was a really good time and these are the reasons why.
I was transported somewhere.
Right.
And
right,
then now right, I'm back right, sort of thing. Right. Yeah. Like, because we chatted about that a bit too, that in my mind, like, you know, drag is kind of a form of theater. And
drag is theater.
Drag is theater too. And I remember when we were, you know, you were teaching me, I have no idea where my makeup style came from. It was some sort of amalgamation of yours and someone else's.
We're not sure where it came from. We're not sure.
It came from the
I'm not sure where she learned that.
1, 2, 3 clown faces.
I'm paid by numbers. Nothing wrong with that.
Paid by number.
Ricky Ron taught you that problem.
But, you know, there were certain techniques for makeup for theater, which was like, you know, a painting out, like, you know, when you're doing your eyeliner. Remember, people used to do their eyeliner right on, like, their lids and stuff like that. But no, you do it on to make your eyes bigger, all these sort of things.
Yeah.
And that's why I always shake my head when drag queens are doing, like, nude lips and stuff like that. Because I'm like, when you have that light on you, you know, the proper theater lighting.
Yeah. No, I think there are certain people who miss that. You know, first of all, you're a man, you're in a dress. You can't paint the same as you would paint for what a woman would wear to, you know, the club that night. It can't do that. You are on stage. There are bright lights. It is, you know, kabuki theater makeup is what you're trying to, you know what I mean? Because from a distance and under those lights, you don't want to look washed out. I mean, you need to have some facial features that show.
Let's change this up a little bit. We've been chatting about, we're going to have to do, you're going to have to write your book about the history of drag, especially here in Kingston. We got to do a podcast series or something about that.
Yeah, Kingston has a tremendous drag history. It goes way back. There is no one star in that history. It was a group effort by a lot of people who just made it work.
Yeah. I miss the makeup parties. Like, we would all get
done. Oh, everybody would get together. Yeah.
Yeah. In like an apartment across the street from the bar or
and
whatever.
Somebody would say, this isn't right, and fix it on you. And yeah, nowadays they let you walk on stage looking like hell.
But I did laugh that I remember someone ran in and they're holding up a pan stick. They're like, I got the pan stick we all liked. Yep. And I was like, oh my God, they all have the same skin tone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You can tell they're all part pan of stick. One family.
Yeah. All mannequins. Stepford wise, really. But they each had their own unique quality. I mean, that's what was fun. That's what drag is about, you know? you need to have, that's why I say this cookie cutter thing that's happening nowadays just doesn't cut it for me personally. Everyone had their own unique style. They had their own unique presence on stage. We're now, I just can't get into one drag show with five people who all did the exact same performance.
They're in all different categories now. They're like, are you a comedy queen? Are you a looks queen? And it's like, oh, okay, well, what about just Tiffany?
I think that was the difference here, too, in Kingston. Because in Kingston, I don't want to say everyone did the same thing because they didn't. I mean, even though there was a group, you know, who predominantly were doing everything, every single queen was different. You know, like for me, it was always, you know, doing more comedy numbers, doing more, you know, things like that. Then you had, you know, the Crystal Cages, who everything, it was all about the beauty of it all, the drama of it all. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Claudette, who was, you know, kind of a cross between, had to be beautiful, had to be comedic. You know, everyone had their own style. So when you seen a show, you never really knew what was going to happen in that show, right? I mean, anything could have happened. The styles of music were different. There was, you know, a broad range of styles of music. And that's what I liked about your show the other night, too. You started off very theater-type music. You went into kind of, you know,
contemporary,
that kind of, you know, more popular stuff. You end it with a lot of comedy and
disco,
you know, disco, and the show had a flow to it. The audience came along on that journey with you, which was incredible.
Well, thank you, dear. Too bad.
When you see a show and there's five people in the show and everyone's doing the popular dance hit of today, really? Like, really? No, that doesn't cut it for me.
So, for our listening audience, Jazz also has jazzmorgan.ca, where you sell some fabulous products.
My beauty line, my skincare line. Most of it's sold out right now. Whoops.
Oh, okay. Gotta get back.
But I gotta get back home and get things on the road, yeah.
I love your facial toner. As like the chamomile one, because it does soothe. It does. Especially after a drag queen shaves her face and chest.
Yeah,
it definitely does soothe. You better check that out. So that's jazzmorgan.ca. That's jazzmorgan.ca. But you also brought some stuff because you're going to be doing a little pop-up store here.
Thanks to Miss Morgan when I came to Kingston. So I've been working on a lot of soap makers. I do soaps and skincare line and all of that. And a lot of soap makers and such, like myself, do candle lines. And I never did a candle line. And then this year I decided, with some help of some people bugging me about it, that we should do a candle line. So I decided that I would do the candle line, but I wanted it to be different. So what I did with my line, so here's one of my beautiful little containers, and there's containers like this, and there's containers related. Here you go.
Oh.
So what I decided to do was to make the candle holders, because I thought a holder was different. The benefit of the holder is that you would have the holder. You could put any candle that you want inside, burn your favorite candle. If you know, you could pick one up at the dollar store if that was your budget. It didn't matter, but you had a beautiful holder to display in your home all the time. So that's what I did. I didn't want to make a container, pour a candle in it, and once you burn the candle, what do you do with the container?
What do you do with it?
This way, you can do whatever you want with the container. I've had people use their makeup brushes in it. People put... So they're made of stone. They're all hand-painted. Some have little decals on them. We created a whole line for Pride, which did really, really well. You're holding one of the Pride ones.
They've done
really well.
We shared a table at Kingston Pride, and everyone just gravitated.
Yeah, we kind of threw together a couple little pop-up shops, and then we did the Pride booth in the park, which was amazing. And I think we both did really well.
You're doing a pop-up, so can you tell us?
So this Sunday I'm going to do a pop-up, so I still have Pride sprays, and I still have a few Pride candles left. The whole candle line will be there. There's, I don't know, 30 or 40 different styles to choose from. And then somebody said to me, you know, you should move into making... vases or planters, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I could do that. So since I've been here, a friend of mine, there's an old company in Kingston called Kingston Spinners, and they went out of business years and years ago. But one of the things that Kingston Spinners had was, I'll give this one to you, Tiffany, you can show this. So Kingston Spinners, this is actually a vessel from Kingston Spinners. So what would happen is the threads that they would use mm-hmm. were on these... They're fiberglass tubes, and all the old threading would be on that they would make their products out of. So a friend of mine said, I have all of these old tubes. Can you do something with them? And I said, you want to believe I can do something with that? So now we've created this whole planter or vase in all different types of styles. So I added that to the candle collection and made these wonderful, funky new little vases that people can purchase as well. Yeah,
hand one over here because unfortunately you're a little too well lit. For the visual,
I demanded great lighting. Let me tell you, yeah, it's not.
But I love this because you and you're reusing some.
So we're using a lot of vintage papers that my sister has a wonderful collection of, and I took some and stole some, and she gave me some. So we're doing a lot with vintage papers and adding them and, creating. They're solid. They don't break.
They're solid.
They don't break. Because the gentleman, his wife actually said, come and get these out of my yard. And I was like, absolutely. So he said, oh, we shot at them with a gun and they don't do anything. They don't break.
So this one's got a bottom that you put on.
So there's no bottoms. They're just a hollow tube. So we create a stone bottom for them. So they're sealed up. So they're watertight. So you can use them indoors. The coating we use on them is a boat coating. So they're perfect marine coating. So they're great for outdoor. The rain's not going to bother them. I have a couple with plants actually in them. So they're great for even on a balcony growing herbs and stuff. They're decorative. Use them inside in the winter. Throw your flowers in them or
whatever. So that's this Sunday.
So we're aiming for this Sunday. So I'll post that on my social media. I'll let you know. You can throw it on yours if you wish.
Okay.
But yeah.
So follow me then.
Or follow Tiffany.
Or follow Jazz Barton.
Don't follow me because I probably won't add you.
So
I have a history of not adding people. Not that I'm rude. I just like to add people I know because there's some pretty weird people out there, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm going to quickly talk about some of the upcoming, because we're getting close to the end of the program here. But upcoming drag shows, upcoming drag events going on. So on July 1st, there's going to be Drag Bingo at Taiwan On Creativity Bar. That's out in the West End here. And it's going to be Rowena Way and myself. We're going to be on two floors. We're going to then switch floors. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun on July 1st. I believe it starts at 6 p.m. Check dragshow.ca for more details about that. There's so many other things. There's Rowena's doing a bingo with Lilith Kane at Daft Brewing Thursday night. And also, Rowena Way is bringing Stephanie Prince. Stephanie Prince from Canada's Drag Race Season 2 is coming to Kingston. Like, I love it when Canada Drag Race mm-hmm. queens come to mm-hmm. Kingston. You can get tickets buy now, with the discount code PRIDE, PRIDE, before July 1st, and you can get some discount tickets. So get that now. That's going to be in August. But sweepies, I got to go. So my name is Miss Tiffany Morgan.
I'm Jazz Morgan.
And you've been listening to Breakfast with Tiffany. Bye-bye, sweepies.